Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
First of all, arrows of deliverance. God could have delivered Israel without Joash, his work or contribution. Would you agree? So why does he use Joash, who is Mr. Baal, Mr. Golden Calf guy, and when the chips are down and really down, oh please, oh my father, chariots and horsemen, you are the true deliverer of Israel. God is going to want to deliver his people because that's the heart of the Lord. He's interested in delivering Israel, and God is interested in delivering Joash. Like Syria was oppressing and depressing God's people, do you notice that our enemy, the devil, does the same thing? Oppressing and depressing. And like we said in our worship time, he doesn't change much. His strategy and his play-by-play book are not vastly different. Three things he gets most people to go down in flames with. Number one, sin. Number two, sickness. Illness. Sometimes when we have a physical ailment that's a challenge, it's a real temptation to take our eyes off of him and see only what we feel, which is to say sickly or weakened or in pain. Sin, sickness, and here's the other big S, self. Self has crowded God off of the throne of our life more times than we would care to remember. Sin, sickness, and self. And that's modeled here by our boy Joash. Joash is a model. God wants to deliver Israel, if you will, like he wants to deliver my situation. God also wants to deliver Joash. In the midst of God delivering me from my situation, God is also interested in delivering me from my sin, sickness, and self. How do you do that? It's right here, starting with verse 17. Look one more time. Open the east window, I wrote in my Bible. Look! Look, number one, if you're taking notes. Open the window and stare honestly. Ask God for an honest and true evaluation. In fact, you might want to put in your margin Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. You guys know this one. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, which means bring a test. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Then, when I go ding, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Then lead me in the way of everlasting. In other words, then lead me in the things that are eternal. Hey, husbands and wives, this is a tough one, Psalm 139. We'd rather stomp down the hall, rusa, frusa, rusa, frusa, what he did, what she said. Please understand that Haziel, as it were, Satan, has brought an onslaught against your marriage. And he's yelling his fearful things. Sometimes the enemy knows how you came up, so he pokes at those things in your past that he knows he'll get a rise out of you. And the temptation is to stomp out to the garage or stomp down the hall, close the door, get into a book, whatever it might be, and heavy on my mind and weighty on my shoulders is this oppressive thought. Man, my spouse is... And you start listing them off. And the enemy's all, yeah, we'd hope you'd go there. Verses. Open the window. Look honestly at the situation. Oh, I see, there's my spouse. What a great big creep. He did, she did, he always, she never. Open it and say, Lord, search me. Is there anything that I'm possibly doing here? And then be ready for God's response. Number one, verse 17, open the window. Look! Ask God to put his hands on your hands. God's word should be covering every move I make, every word I speak, every step I take. Because when I'm grump and frump at my spouse, man, I'll be too quick to find all of the collaborating evidence that proves how awful they are and what a victim I am. That's a work of the enemy. Number one, open the window. What about number two? Also in verse 17. Shoot! Shoot what? Arrows of deliverance. What are my arrows? Word. Fwing. Worship. Fwing. Prayer. Fwing. And fellowship. Those are your arrows. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus, shoot. Shoot. Shoot them. Number three. Verse 19. Now remember how many times Elisha said, shoot the one arrow, that's your arrow of deliverance. Now shoot some more. And he goes, okay. One, brrr, two, brrr, three, brrr. And then he looks at Elijah. And then the king puts down the quiver. Look what Elijah does. Verse 19. And the man of God was what, everybody? He was what? He was, no! The man of God was angry with him. He said, you should have struck five or six times. But you only did three. There are more arrows. Number one, open the window. Look and see and say, God, I see what I see. Lord, would you show me what you see? Number two, fire those arrows. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. Number three, repeat the process. How often? Oh, two or three times. No! Until it is completely destroyed. Amen. This is in a beautiful, beautiful illustration. King Joash is saying, I've been utilizing all the wrong tools. And this enemy has beaten me up every way that I try. You have a Hazael in your life. Everybody does. You have something that is breathing threats, has overwhelming superiority, and it has broken every one of your attempts to defeat it. And just laughs at you and say, is that all you got? Come on. And then what it does occur to us to fall in the word of God and say, oh God, help. Another thing the enemy says, you're asking for God's help now. Please look at the story. Elisha says, all right. Number one, you got to open the window. The east window. Ooh, there is my enemy. Ask me, says the Lord, to show you what I see, not what you see. Because all you can see is that big old scary monster who keeps defeating you and defeating you and defeating you. Let me show you what I see. Because part of the process is I want to deliver you from your situation. I want to deliver Israel. But I also want to deliver you, Joash. This is your chance. What do I do? Look. Number two, shoot. Get in the Word every day. Be a worshiper all the time. Be in prayer a lot. Fire those arrows. And then get around other knuckleheads just like you. And pray and worship and word worship, prayer and fellowship. But then you only have to do that on Monday, right? How often do you do? Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Verse 19, you should have fired 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 arrows. There were more in the quiver. Then if you would have done that, you would have struck Syria until you had destroyed it. But now you strike Syria only 3 times. Oh, your deliverance wasn't done. It wasn't finished. Remember, God is bringing deliverance to Israel. He also is bringing deliverance to Joash. Keep firing your arrows. Getting in the Word, you think, with a cup of coffee in a quiet sort of environment is very peaceful to you, and it should be in many respects. But at the same time, too, in the Spirit, you know what you're doing? You're drawing back the bow. Fling! Take that! When you pray, Lord, you know, remember, any good conversation, of course, is speaking, but a big part of a good conversation is receiving. Powerful time. It may be a sweet, peaceful time, tender time. It is. But at the same time, it's an arrow. Take that! Dragging ourselves to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, we think it's just kind of showing up. It's an arrow. Take that! And when a brother comes up to another brother and gives him a hug and says, you're going to make it. That's an arrow. Take that! Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. And how many times should we do that? 2 or 3? No, Elisha says, no, no, no. You do it as often as it takes until the enemy is destroyed. If not, you will see a partial deliverance. Verse 20, then Elijah died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of that year. And so it was when they were burying him that there was this guy. So there was a guy, they were fighting. One of the casualties is killed. And so they're just going to toss him in this place. Then suddenly they spied a band of raiders and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. They didn't know that it was Elisha's tomb. Here they come. What are we going to do with this dead body? Just chunk it in here. Whoop. So in it goes. And when the man was let down, or he was tossed in really, and touched the bones of Elisha, the dead guy revived and stood on his feet. That is awesome. Now, what's going on here? No doubt this is for an example to Joash's lack of faith. At the same time, too, you guys know that this is a gospel, right? The guy is dead, but he gives new life. That's the gospel. Jesus was dead. His death on the cross means for us, if we grab that crucifixion, what does it mean? It's life. I couldn't help it. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise you, Harvest family, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you imagine the guy, wing, down at the bottom, boink, hits the bones, snaps up. What was that? And he's all, fellas, shh, quiet, quiet, there's Moabites in the area. Fellas, shh, quiet. That's fascinating to me. When the dead guy touches Elisha's bones, he springs to life. I could not but think as well, when you are gone, and everybody does, I looked it up, the mortality rate in Washoe County, 100%. Everybody dies. When you die, when I pass, will there be any of our bones, so to speak, any of our artifacts that survive that could bring life to somebody else? I think of people that I've had a chance to pray with over the years. I think of blessed sons and daughters of God who I had the good fortune to lead to the Lord. When I'm long gone, they'll still be alive, maybe some of them. My children, my kids, will they love the Lord? And will they have an appreciation and a passion for God's Word? That's kind of doing the same thing. I think of Pastor Chuck Smith, who has passed a couple years now. But there are still things that I think about that he has said, and sometimes messages that I'll peek in on that are on and cataloged in tapes and online. And I think to myself, Lord, I want to be like that. If I don't go in the rapture, and then I get hit by a cement truck or whatever the thing might be, will there be any of my bones laying around, artifacts from my life? I hope so. How about your own life? Kids? Things? Habits? Just a thought. There's Elijah, and even his bones, they're dead. The guy touches them, and what that is mostly, it's a depiction, a model form of the gospel. Verse 22. And Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them, had compassion on them, and regarded them. Why? Because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and who would not yet destroy them or cast them from his presence. The utter destruction of Israel was averted not because of their performance, amen, but because of God's promises. That too is a picture of the gospel. Verse 24, we're almost done. Now Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, the third now, his son, reigned in his place. And Jehoahaz, the son of Jehoiaz, recaptured from the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoiaz, his father. And the Lord, through the Bible, makes mention, how many times did that happen? Three times Jehoash defeated him and recaptured the cities, and the war wasn't over. How many times did Jehoash shoot his arrows? Why was Elisha upset? Dude, you should have shot 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Had you done that, it wouldn't have been a partial deliverance, but a full one. That's a model of sometimes you and I, the beloved believer in Jesus. Let's all stand together. Lord Jesus, I find it fascinating that in our time of worship and praise tonight, we felt led, Lord, just to sort of hover, if that's the right word, just hover for a moment. And then, after a time of our hearts pouring out to you, we took that opportunity, Lord, for you then to speak. And I know that there are people in this room tonight. You shared some things with them. As always, Lord, may we take every impression, every visual sort of thing that might light up in our minds, any word that may occur to our hearts and minds, let us take everything to the Word and let us search the Scriptures to see if they're correct. But I pray that tonight, Lord, the visual imagery and the example of Joash, fire the arrows, says the Word of God. He does. Well, fire some more. Okay, says Joash. One, brrr, two, brrr, three, shwit, brrr. Okay, I'm done. And the word of God said to Joash, if only you would have kept firing the arrows. Everybody's head down, everybody's eyes closed. Lord, I want to pray for some pretty special people in this room tonight, or perhaps listening to us from online. Keep shooting. Keep shooting. Word, worship, prayer, fellowship. And then word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. And then word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. And then pray some more, worship more. Get in the Word more, fellowship again, and then get in the Word again, and then pray, and grab somebody and say, pray with me, stand with me, let us both fire arrow after arrow after arrow after arrow, and then deliverance will come, and deliverance will come. And that enemy that used to laugh at us, you will never defeat me. I have crushed your chariots. I have crushed your horsemen. Every weapon you've trained against me, I have crushed. I own you. God says, open the window. Shoot the arrow and keep shooting until it is defeated. I know that for some in this room, that's your direct heart to them regarding their current bellowing challenge like a Goliath. You come to me with sticks and stones? David says, this isn't any old stone. I come to you in the name of the living God. And David ran toward that Goliath and unleashed the first guided missile in history. Lord, I know that there are some here tonight that their situation just seems crushing. And I pray for every single heart. Is it sin? Is it sickness? Is it self? My bride and I were praying for somebody even this morning who their window of opportunity opened. And then as always, the enemy was there to shut it quickly. Lord, I want to lift up that precious person in Jesus' name. Open the window again. And some in this room, Lord, the window has been opened, but you missed the window. And the enemy's all, and you'll never see it again. That's just not true. In Jesus' name, Lord, open the window again. Open the window of opportunity to say, I'm sorry. Open the window, Lord, of opportunity to find change, real change to myself. You want to deliver Israel, and you want to deliver Joash. You want to deliver your people from their situation, and you want to deliver your people. In Jesus' name I pray, Father, every person in this room, Lord, every family represented by these precious people, oh, in Jesus' name, Lord, open the window again, and may we all recognize and then immediately start firing those powerful arrows. In Jesus' name. And all the pre-victorious saints said, Amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.